Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Domain Sherpa review titled My First Millie, featuring Braden, Shane, and Ish Millie, although it's technically Ish's second time on the show. And on today's show, we play the domain game featuring BTCfinancing.com, theai.com, xmobile.com, and northridge.com. And then we've got the NameJet in a Jet segment sponsored by NameJet. And we talk about some domains coming up for auction, including thumbdrive.com, streetvision.com, zipcodes.com, and medicalschools.org. We also talk about the recent listing of AI.com and the coordination between .ai and .com domains and branding, as well as some good tips and advice for new domainers. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at DomainSherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at DS.TV. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button and all that good stuff everywhere that you can, and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. So definitely check all that out. And huge shout out to DNWE, short for Domain Name Wholesale Exchange. It's a trading platform designed specifically for domain investors, streamlining the process of buying and selling domain names to make it quicker and easier. With a community of over 3,500 investors, DNWE enhances market liquidity, facilitating more efficient transactions with standard domain listings, reverse auctions, standard auctions, and soon to be added portfolio auctions, which will include traffic portfolios. DNWE is part of EW3N, a family-run digital asset investment company based in London, England, that also operates DomainManage.com, which is a global sales platform, and Brandable.UK, which is a marketplace for UK and co.UK domain names. And also, big shout out to Unstoppable Domains, the only ICANN-accredited registrar that lets you trade DNS domains on-chain and access crypto investors. With 3% commissions, at-cost renewals, and hundreds of resellers soon to be integrated, they're a cutting-edge marketplace you need to know about and use to get more sales and keep costs down. Unstoppable can save you thousands in registration costs. They have $5.com Fridays and $1.xyz Wednesdays every week, and $5 off all transfers in with no promo code required. And last but certainly not least, shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain names and domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and of course, domain investing. So now, with that, it's time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, a.k.a. John Burgundy, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is a Domain Sherpa review, where we get into the minds of successful domain investors using real examples so we can learn strategies and tactics to become more successful domain name investors ourselves. It's a mouthful, it's a lot, but it's the truth. These are the experts. There are four segments to a Domain Sherpa review. We've got grand opening. That's where I intro the Sherpas. We see what's going on with them, talk about some related things, maybe some unrelated things. Then we've got the domain game. That's what we hear about, what the Sherpas recently bought or sold. Everybody guesses. We keep score, and then somehow, some way, someday, get some swag to the winner. Maybe a hoodie like this, for example. You know what I'm saying? It can happen. It might happen. You know, and you guys all have some swag. And it might not be reflective of the amount of times that you've won the domain game, you know, but you got IOUs, kind of like the money behind Braden, you know, he's got a stack. And I'm like, that's a good one. Like Dumb and Dumber, you know, that's a good IOU. You got to hold on to that one. That's a good one.
11 years, one mug, one sweatshirt. That really plans out.
two chicks, one sweatshirt.
Yeah.
All right. And I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just saying. All right. And then we got NameJet and a Jet. That's where we review a list of domains coming up for auction on NameJet. We see what the Sherpas like and what they don't like. And then last but not least, we've got Grand Closing. That's where we discuss anything we haven't covered already, what's going on in the domain space, looking at the market trends, current events, talking about whatever we want, allowing our guests to mention and promote anything that they want to talk about that we have not already discussed. So with that, let's go ahead and introduce the Sherpas over to my right. Second time on the show. Super hyped up about this. We got my boy Ish Millie, a.k.a. Talk That Ish, a.k.a. Millie Maker, a.k.a. My First Millie, a.k.a. Ish Millie, Bobby Brown, a.k.a. Rocket Ishmael, which Northeast Pennsylvania, baby. Notre Dame. Shane, you might remember him, right?
Oh, I remember the Rocket. Best kick returner at Notre Dame.
Yeah, the Heisman Trophy winner. And so, yeah, he's from where I'm from. So I don't know Rocket really well, but I know his younger brother, Quadri, who is also an NFL guy, who played on that the Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl championship team. And then their youngest brother, Suleiman, who I did go to school with for a year. And all good peeps. So shout out to them. But yeah, Ish Millie, I've been chilly, cold ice on my wrist, really. What's up, dude? How are you doing?
And I'm great, man. Great to be back. Here to learn and share a few things with you legends. You know, always an honor. And I'm excited, man. Let's get it.
Dude, man, let's go, dude. I mean, it's hey, you're up. You're with us now, man. You know what I'm saying? You are a Sherpa. And, you know, I'm always really, really, you know, I don't want to say proud, right? Like, because I know that, you know, you talk about watching the show back in the day as you were kind of coming up and doing your thing. And obviously, you know, we got to know each other through Clubhouse initially and all that kind of stuff. But you're on your grind, man. And, you know, doing big things, having a lot of success. And, you know, in my opinion, really setting a great example for up and coming domainers who are trying to understand how to make it work in this space, because you've done it and you're doing it. And I think that's a testament to the work you put in. The diligence, the foundation, and just, you know, and the hustle, man. So it's all good. So
appreciate you. Know,
so, yeah, so that's what it is, man.
It's a grind. I'm still learning. Definitely getting better. But I'm trying to be like Braden when I grow up, and Shane.
We're all trying to be Braden. I mean, well, I don't even know if it's growing up as Shane now. Now Shane's growing down somehow. You know what I'm saying? Like every time we see him. Well, I mean, you know, the joke's always been that Braden's the one that looks really young for his age. And now Shane's out here like, hey,
he's my Ben Kenobi. I went out to L.A. and went to the younger festival, and I learned to get.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, first you start by drinking his blood.
It's only, you know? I think, Braden, what is it, like 28,000 for the week? It's reasonable if you want to.
They do the transfusions. They like set you to, you know, it's like collagen.
I don't even know what that musical instrument is we played, but it was beautiful.
He's like, I don't even know why I'm leaving here. I want to stay here forever.
I did. I moved in.
I love my family, but I don't want to leave this oasis.
Yeah, I was just, you've seen the picture on Twitter, on X, where I'm sleeping in the beanbag. I'm like sitting in his room, just on the beanbag. But let's get to Ish. The thing about Ish is consistency, right? Like that's the people that do the best here are the people that just stick with it. Cause this is a patience game. This is takes a lot of time, needs showing up every day. That's really the only way you can do it. And the analogy I've used a lot lately for people is if you sail, you know, you never go straight, right? You go left and you go right. So you're never going in the perfect direction, but you're always going forward. And that's what Ish has done. He has to adjust course, catch the wind, move again, catch the wind, but he's always moving forward. And that's how you have to do these things.
Boom. That's it, man. He's like, yeah, I'll come on the show anytime you guys can hype me up and all that kind of stuff. So
we wouldn't be on here if he wasn't, right? We don't come.
Well, and that's the point I was making. That's exactly what I was saying. You know, it's like he now belongs here as much as anybody. And it's just awesome, you know? And it's like seeing the success of the younger guys like Ish and, you know, Josh, obviously, but, you know, and folks like that who have, you know, come into the space a little bit later than some of the older OGs and have had that success. And I think you're right. One of the consistencies that you'll see across that is consistently showing up. And that's one of the big things, especially in a long game like domains. So it's all good.
I remember the resistance initially, right? I think it'd be interesting to hear your story if you include that part, because I think it's a good lesson for people. Because, you know, you really thought that the dot club and all the alternative extensions was the way. And, you know, and you were like, you know, you guys are the old school dot commerce. And I was like, we're domain investors. Like we're going to go where the money is.
Right.
Like I'm not a dot commer. I just want to invest in the thing that's going to make the most money.
Right. And no, it's a big
part. You had that kind of initial worldview, and it just took a minute for like, okay, now I'm starting to understand what you guys are saying.
Sure. I think that's a big part of, like Shane said, taking that course, you have your preconceptions and ideas, and you realize, okay, this is really what's going on, and these are the adjustments I need to make, and these are the people I need to sort of like follow their path. And I think, you know, even till now, I'm still learning. You know, I went super crazy with the Web3 domain names, I realized, oh, this is not it. And I started warning people and made a lot of enemies because of that. But, you know, thankfully, you have to learn how to accept your mistakes and double down on what's working. And that's what I try to do every day.
Yeah. I think initially, you know, there was hype and you were making money because you were buying names and then flipping them into the wholesale market. So there's margin there and that's good, but you know, it's not sustainable for new extensions, right? If there's not end users. And I think that was all part of your learning curve. And I think that perspective, that story would be helpful for other new investors.
Yeah, sure. And we talked about that the last time he was on the show. So obviously, you know, Braden didn't watch or listen to that episode. But had he heard that, he would have heard Ish talk through a lot of that.
Wait, there's Sherpas that I'm not on?
Exactly. But that was a lot of what we talked about. And I think everybody has like their own unique origin story, right? And everyone goes through it and they learn the way they learn and they, you know, learn by making mistakes and doing it. I mean, who is, you know, talks a lot about how, you know, he invested, what, $200,000 on terrible domains before he understood, you know, where the value was. And I think the Web3 thing is interesting, you know, the Web3 domains, because I do see you fighting that fight-ish with like the .eth and all that. And yeah, I mean, just the other day did you post the thing about where it's like the four character club or whatever, and they're like $50?
The 4 digits are now $50, and I had owned at one point 15 of them, and I paid as much as 3 Ethereum for them, and I just basically took a loss on them at about 0.3 ETH. I was like, look, it's better to just take the L and reinvest it into something else. And oh, they called me the worst investor ever, all kind of stuff. Wow. But I was like, it doesn't make any sense. It's not sustainable. The renewals are too high. And then when .com sort of like absorbed all the superpowers of a .eth, right? It was like, that was a writing on the wall for me. And, you know, a lot of these guys sort of like just had a need to be right. And it doesn't look like it's working out very well. I wish them the best, but I'm very proud of the fact that I've exposed a lot of those guys into what they call traditional domain investing. And so some of those guys are now selling .xyz's or .com's. And you know, it's kind of like part of their journey in discovering the real value in domain investing.
Yep.
The key is that's what leaders do, right? So leaders don't diss the people that make the mistakes. You show them the path to profitability, and I think that's really important. Like Web3 handles have a value, right? I mean, I'm not comparing them to a license plate, but people pay millions of dollars to have a cool license plate or a cool flex. That's fine. That has some value. It's just not what it was. What we need to do as domain investors and show them the light. Like show them people are there to make money, right? They're not there to flex a name. They were there to make money. Let's show them how they can make money with traditional domains. And I think that's an important path going forward is let's show them how we do it, the process, you know, the risks, the rewards, the timeframes, and get them into that. There's billions of dollars out there that can come to our asset class. We don't want them competing in the auctions. But at the same time, still a very valuable asset class. And I'm meeting with GoDaddy after this to discuss how can we turn domain investors? How can we take what Michael Saiger built in that that university and that program and teach them? That's what we need to do more of.
But I think, you know, building a portfolio that doesn't have the value that we think it's going to have, it's kind of a rite of passage. We all have done that, you know, until we kind of get our footing and figure out, you know, where we should be investing. And I mean, like before I got into generic domains, I had 15,000 domains for lawyers, just lawyer names. Like I went deep in that.
You were legal brand marketing. Yep.
Yeah. And look, and I certainly made some money doing that, but I tell you, I dropped way more of those names than I ever sold. Right. But it got me into the space. Yeah. Right. And I segued from just buying lawyer names to buying, you know, generic names and then moving up market. So that was all part of my path. So while I may have lost money in that portfolio, I made money overall, right?
Don't care how you got here. Just glad you're here, right?
Well, and you know, look, you're seeing that, and there are trends that you can take advantage of as a newer investor if you can you know, understand the market. And we say it on the show a lot of the, you know, all the time, you know, you make money on the buy and not the sell, right? So the acquisition is key. Buying the right names at the right price is going to set you up for success. If you can do that, I mean, easier said than done. But even look at, you know, I mean, you mentioned .xyz and, you know, there's continued demand. We've got folks, when we have people coming to us on the acquisition side for names in the, you know, .xyz, .ai, you know, which we do, you know that that's demand in the marketplace, right? And it's because we've got people coming to us trying to get a strategic domain that is not available, that they need, and they're willing to spend real money for it. You know, that's not just, oh, I bought a bunch of dot whatever and some closeout style auctions or hand registered them on a promo or whatever. It's actual, you know, again, real demand for those namespaces. I think the AI thing is always interesting. I know Josh has gotten to be pretty bullish on the .ai domains. I mean, obviously the boosts, you know, Drew has made his position pretty clear that he believes in .ai domains, but at the right price, and feels like that a lot of that opportunity is gone, you know. I don't know that I necessarily agree. I think that, you know, I think it's interesting. And I'm probably more of a middle of the road as far as the way that I see it, just based on what we see in the marketplace, which is, you know, there doesn't seem to be sort of a slowing down of .ai domains. Although recently, James did lose one, right, to the registry because it was being utilized in violation of the terms of service. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
Somewhere. So, yeah, came across the ether in some form or fashion. So anyway, we don't need to get way into the, you know, the weeds there. It's just really, it's just the idea that trends continue to, you know, things evolve constantly, as, you know, volatility, as well as, again, just changing of trends and different things create opportunity. And we're at the forefront of a lot of that stuff being in domains.
When you've made it as a domain investor, I think the key is knowing why. Why does a business need this or use this? If you sat on a negotiation with Drew, you can see very clearly that he understands why they should have this domain, what domain they should have. And Ish has gotten there too. And I know that is because he's doing outbound and he's feeling comfortable as to why they should buy this domain. He's not selling them. He understands why they should have this and why it would be beneficial. He doesn't have to bullshit them. He can show why. Braden certainly can. He can see the $1 million domains, what they're using them for, why they came to them. That once you understand why, this becomes much more clear to everybody. You just have to get there first. It's not just because they're worth money. It's why should they spend that kind of money? So that's an important point.
Yeah, well said, man. All right. Well, look, we're still in the intros here, so let's continue to go around the horn so that we can get into the domain game and some other stuff. But I think the domain maxis in the audience will appreciate that this, you know, our early convos are very domain focused. You know what I mean? This isn't going to be like, oh, hey, and to hear domains being spoken about for the first time on the show, skip ahead to minute 47. Yeah. But which is cool. So, but let's go ahead.
It is called Domain Sherpa.
Yeah,
Domain Sherpa,
not Somalia's economic GDP.
Somalia Sherpa. All right, here to my lower right, I got my boy Shane Coulter, aka Sugar Shane, aka Honey Shane, aka Mike Rowe, aka Blame It on the Shane, aka House of Shane, aka the Culture Club, aka Doing It for the Culture, in Shane in the Membrane, in Shane in the Blockchain, in Shane with Rogaine, you know what I'm saying? Like, what? That was...
Might not be lying.
No, I mean, come on, man. I'm just saying. Look, I got no hair, you know? Like, no, I actually was thinking this the
video.
Other day. I'm
like, you can cut to the video. There's no doubt something's going on, but.
It's good, man. It looks good. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying?
Haircut will come eventually, right?
I gotta get
the body going first. We were at in Vegas and Braden showed me his workout routine and I'm like, we got hope. We can put some muscle on still at 50.
Yeah, so. Dude, he's hitting the gym, man. Well, you know, so I'm working out in Vegas and like, and I'm doing my thing and all of a sudden I'm like, see somebody's kind of like in my periphery. I see somebody sort of standing there and I'm like, can I help you? And I look and it's Braden and he's like, I'm like, are you about to give me some, like, you know, you're going to try and give me some workout tips here? He's like, well, now that you asked, yeah, like, you got to, he's like, you're going way too fast. You got to do this. You got to do that. Like, next thing you know, I'm like, it was like a full on personal trainer. And he's all like, you know, like buffed
sleeper.
Out.
He's got a sleeper build, doesn't he?
And I'm like, hey, I'm going to listen to what this guy's telling me. He's looking good. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the one thing. It's like, you can't tell people how to do something. And this goes for domains and almost anything. It's like, if somebody's coming rolling up on you in the gym and they're way out of shape trying to tell you how to work out, it's like, you better have a real good reason as to why you look like you do, trying to tell me that you know something about this that I need to know. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, just like people in domains that want to teach or try to instruct without knowing what they're talking about, right? It's like, and some of that is just, you got to go through it to be able to teach it. You know, I mean, it's just, it's
you got to go through the bulk phase. We call it the bulk phase and then the cut phase.
Yeah. I don't know where I'm at. I'm definitely in the bulk phase. I'm always in the bulk phase. That's what I tell
my wife. I said, I'm in the bulk phase, you know, the protein and the creatine. I'll be in the cut phase and I'll be like Braden trying on the domain shirts. Extra small. Like,
oh, you got this in Schmedium?
Coming across.
Yeah. You got this in Schmedium.
Like, that's a girl's cut, you know? And he goes, that's not a girl's cut. And I go, that's a girl's cut.
Hey, JT, what happened when we made a couple of tweaks to your posture, huh?
Good, it definitely helped.
You know what I'm saying? That's long.
Yeah, it's a lot harder. And I actually feel the muscle working. I'm like, that's really weird.
Exactly. You know, exactly. So. No, that's my bicep.
Exactly. That's what that's supposed to feel like. Anyway, all right, let's keep it moving. So below me, finally, last but not least, we got my boy Braden Pollock, a.k.a. Tony Stark, a.k.a. Benjamin Button, a.k.a. Eat Bray Love, a.k.a. Braden Pollockton, the Archduke of Calabasas, the former Archduke of Calabasas, now the Viscount of Woodland Hills. And it's not that your domain is worthless. It's just that it's worth less. And which is really true, man. That's like, you know, that's what it is. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Good, I'm good. Not sleeping enough lately, but otherwise, I'm all right.
You got some travel coming up, right? So you're going to be, you'll be in Seattle, right? Coming up.
Yeah. So we're recording, today's Wednesday, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll leave on Sunday. I've got some stuff to do this weekend, so I'm going to go up on Sunday.
And we were talking about this pre-show, but so no ish in Seattle. Shane, are you going to be in Seattle for ICANN?
I'm on the opposite side of the country, so I'm going to stay here for a month. Yeah. I'm in the mountains again. Like, I got 500 megabit internet, but other than that, you can't find me.
Nice. I like it, man. That's not a bad way to be.
You have your background blurred out so no one can tell where you are.
Well, I will say we're in a cabin, and a cabin with no space with a wife that's on meetings all day is kind of a tough vocal scenario. Like, we're both talking the whole time. So
yeah. Well, A Cabin in the Woods. Have you ever seen the movie A Cabin in the Woods? Has anybody ever seen that?
Yeah.
Like a horror flick. It's pretty dope. Though. Yeah, it's pretty dope. I know Braden, because he doesn't want, and if Drew was on here, he'd be like, I don't watch movies. What are you talking about? I don't watch movies. I don't watch sports ball. Shut up. All I do is make money and listen to podcasts. Which isn't a bad way to be either, you know what I mean? Oh, and pet goats. Any pets, goats. Yeah, I know. You know what I'm saying?
We got those storms that came across yesterday. We had 70-mile-an-hour winds, and I'm gonna say it was creaking and a calling all night. And I was like, is this thing gonna stay up?
Yeah,
that's,
dude.
That's why I didn't get sleep. I'm like, I might be sleeping in a tent tonight. I don't know. Okay.
Well, I'm glad you're all right. All right. Well, let's keep it moving on some domain talk. Let's get into the domain game. We're going to talk about what the Sherbas recently bought or sold. Everybody's going to guess the price, their phones, get your phones. Ish, we're going to start with you. If you don't mind sharing either a buy or a sell, and then we'll go from there. You're on mute, by the way. So
let's think of one. A recent sale that I did a purchase. Okay, let's go with btcfinancing.com. It's a small one. Purchased that name. I really love that name. I think it has some sort of commercial value there, but it wasn't an expensive purchase, in my opinion.
Don't give any secrets away.
Oh, yeah. Did you buy it or sell it?
I bought it.
Okay, he bought btcfinancing.com.
Correct.
What do we think he bought this?
Wait, this is a, you say it's a buy?
It's a purchase.
Buy. BTCfinancing.com. Put the numbers in your phones, y'all. Show mine.
I don't see that, JC.
No, I didn't show the number yet. I'm just showing the back. The Jalen Hurts to AJ Brown on the back of my phone.
That's right.
World champion Philadelphia Eagles. All right, you guys ready? 3, 2, 1, flip. All right. Ooh. Yeah, the first time. I don't know if I've ever seen that. Like where
I don't think I've
so
ever
I'm at $250. Shane and Braden are both at $650. So
we're gonna have to split the buddy.
Yeah.
See, I'm already learning. It seems like I overpaid for it.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of
I picked that up for $950.
Okay. You know, so for what it's worth, I was going to be closer to the 500-600 range, but you said it was a little baby sale, whatever you called it. So, like, you know, you gave me some money.
I mean, I'm reading the room. You know what I mean? It's not.
JT is when he's like really wrong. He's like, but what I was going to say was exactly what
I was going to say $7,000.
And I didn't because, you know, of a.
Right.
JT's so full of shit.
So he, what an apple was.
Hey man.
JT, just take the L, man.
Nah, hey, look, I was trying to also make Ish feel better by letting him know why I picked a low number. No?
Yeah, you could have said, I picked that low number because I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, this is a psychological trick. So users think he actually won. All they can remember is he might have won. Like he just.
Look, you're a Jedi mind trick in here.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so you guys were a little closer with 650, which actually wasn't that far off. So since you guys get the point, why don't you talk a little bit, one of you, about your thought process and where you think it's at, and if you think that's a decent price for what he paid and what you think he might sell it for.
Yeah, no, I think that the reason that name is good is because there is a future of loans and financial transactions in BTC. So there may be days and there will be days where banks or people offer crypto financing and blockchain financing and BTC financing. So, yeah, what he could sell it for. I mean, I would still be in the 10 grand range on something like that if I were selling it. Being the five figures.
Yeah, 10 is exactly what I thought too. And so, listen, 650, 950, it's a $300 difference. So it's not significant, right? So if you like it at 650, you know, you can still like it at 950. If you think it's worth $10,000, I mean, Shane and I think 10, you might think 15, right? But maybe you know better than we do. Maybe you've done a little research on that market. I mean, I had it. Like, you know, my understanding is, like Shane's, where it's kind of general, you know, BTC is here to stay and there's probably going to be some financing. You know, that name, you're up against BTC Finance and BTC Loans and BTC Loan. And right. So you've got kind of similar names out there, which is why it's not a $50,000 name. It's more of a $10,000 name, but still has value.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. Great feedback. I appreciate that. I'll definitely take that advice. I had a price a lot higher, so I'm going to make it. I'm going to relist it for $9,800.
What would you have listed at?
Oh, a lot more. It was about, but it was supposed to be a long hold for me because I feel like that's a space that's going to emerge over the coming years. So it wasn't something that I was pricing to sell right away. But obviously, if someone saw value in it and wanted to pick it up, it was priced accordingly. But I'm going to make the adjustment as we speak. And
so what I would do with a name like that when you're set pricing is I would look at there's all the variables and what's happening with those. So BTC finance, loans, lending. Where's the pricing on those? You might find like a hand wedge out there and you want to scoop that up just so you don't have like basically a free competing name, right? You might find another one that's $100. Like you just don't know. But if everything is like if they're all in use. You can set your pricing wherever you want, right? Because that shows demand and there are no alternative, there's no options out there, right? But if everything's priced to like $500, you don't want to be at 10,000, right? So you might want to adjust your pricing to match or to beat some of those alternatives or scoop some up and set the market pricing. Fair so, enough. And the same goes, this is what I do if I have a .com, I look at the .net, the .org and then, you know, .co, the .io, right? Just, I want to see what's happening in the market and see what the options are. For buyers when they're looking for a name like that.
Yeah, I just listed it at $9,988.
And there's statistics that tell you that under 10,000 has a higher sell-through rate. Adam had a really good, some data points that show, I don't remember what the numbers, but it's like a 20% higher if you just adjust it under that 10,000 number. And you have to think as a company, when I talked about why earlier, if I'm a company offering finance, do I pigeon myself into only BTC financing? That's why you see a lot of people call themselves Plasma or something else, because they do offer what you're saying, but they don't want to pigeon themselves is that's all we do. So it can be kind of a marketing name. So there's lots of things that would say why they wouldn't buy it and why they would. And you just have to, you know, analyze that. But Braden's right on the money with other things taken. Like that comes down to it. When you, if you buy a name, you have, if everything else in that keyword is available, you better pay less for that extension. You just better, because why would they choose yours over the other ones?
So I just looked up btcfinance.com, which is the closest option, right? And it redirects to Kraken. So that's a very good sign,
right?
It's off the market and Kraken thinks it has value and there's an obvious buyer for you.
That raises the price alone right there.
Yeah.
Exchanges are good. So, I didn't even know that. So that's very helpful. So that means I'm going to increase the price.
Yes, exactly. What a roller coaster of emotions.
That's why with a name like that, you really don't want to price it in a vacuum. You want to see what's happening. When you've got names that have alternatives out there, you want to see what's going on with those to set your pricing.
And that's the use I talked about for the marketing side. That's exactly what they did with it. They forwarded it to their main site. So that's a perfect example of why someone would buy that just for redirect value. Yep.
Yeah. Can you guys speak on that? It seems like a lot of the .ai acquisitions we're seeing, some of them even in six figures, are being used as redirects.
Or protection, right? If you're a company you own the .com, I think we saw a two-letter sell. I can't remember what just sold, right?
Is it tp.ai or something like that?
Yeah. TP was it?
Think so.
Yeah. So I think the two-letter.com was the owner who bought it. So they're kind of protecting the brand and adding that to their brand. And it's I don't know if you call it a marketing name or a protection, or maybe they're going to launch something on AI. There is no doubt that AI is good for business, right? If you say you're AI, you can raise more, you get more attention, you seem on the cusp of growing technology. So you're going to see a lot of people buying the .ai version of their .com or even a one-step upgrade, right? Maybe they're on an alternate, not .com, they're going to AI, and we all know they'll eventually hopefully get the .com someday too. So
BTC loans is, there's a non-priced lander, not, doesn't show for sale. So that'll confuse people. BTClending.com is on Afternic for $65,000. BTC loan.
So it's looking like a very good buy.
Same.
Yeah, I mean.
So I think 10,000 is too low.
Yep. Move it back. You
know what I'll do? Just because of the visibility that Domain Shepherd has, I'll leave it at 10 grand, less than 10 grand in case somebody wants to pick it up. But 2 days after this airs, I'll check it.
The only alternative to that name that is available for sale is BTC Lending at $65,000.
Yeah. So, and I think BTC Financing is a similar name, or, you know, subjectively just as good or bad.
I like it better. Yeah.
Okay. Meaning, wait, which one do you like better? Finance?
I like financing. I like financing better.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually do too, because I think it gives you a little bit more of a call to action. BTC Finance seems more like investing in Bitcoin versus using Bitcoin either for lending or financing purposes. And we're definitely going to see more. I mean, we already saw some in the NFT space, and obviously you can trade with leverage. I mean, there's definitely ways that you can utilize your tokens, your coins and things, in that kind of, and to your point that you led with, which is, And there's a lot more coming, right? We haven't even scratched the surface yet, into what we're going to be seeing happen, obviously DeFi and staking. I mean, so much of the stuff's already here, but it's only going to get bigger, better, more sophisticated, and more prevalent. So, yeah, man. Well, good stuff. See, so I was way, way.
So Braden, what would you list it at?
35 grand.
35 grand, okay.
Yeah. And I had 25 after our conversation, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that 25 to 35, because also that gives you a lot of room to
negotiate.
You can always negotiate down, can't negotiate up. Yeah.
Well, you can. It's a certain skill.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you don't have a buy, if you have a buy now, they can click a button. It makes it a little difficult, but yeah.
If it's a bin, but if it's priced and they reach out to you,
yeah,
like, oh Jesus, I apologize that name was due to be repriced and it was a mistake. Yeah. I'm sorry, but it's not the current price.
But yes, I think generally speaking, Shane is correct. It's much tougher to negotiate. Yeah.
That's all right, rare.
Well, let's keep it moving. All right. So you two each have a point or maybe half a point. You know, we're going to see how the game plays out to decide how we're going to work that. But let's go ahead, Shane. What do you got? Do you have a buy, a sell, or a name that you otherwise had?
I haven't really sold much the last couple of weeks since the last show. So I'm going to do what I always do. I've got a recent sale that I saw that I don't think you guys know. It is public, but it hasn't been widely published. It's vai.com. THEAI.com, recent sale.
So I'm sorry, what was it? V what?
VAI.
The AI. I got you. Okay.
And we know that AI.com is for sale now. And
I mean, $100 million.
Is it for sale though? You know what I'm saying? Like if a domain is for sale at $100 million, is it actually for sale?
The guy who owns it is very wealthy. And he paid a shit ton.
Mm-hmm.
And he bought it a few years ago, but he paid like a massive number, like a record setting kind of number. And so he wants a good multiple and he doesn't need the money. So,
yeah. Well, and I mean, look, obviously it is a fantastic domain name, right? I mean, clearly. And it is worth an astronomical amount of money. If it sells for $100 million, obviously that's fantastic for everybody in the domain space. And it'll be super exciting, obviously, for Larry Fisher, who's got the listing and for the seller. You know, I guess it's just a question. And I think there's what's cool about it is it creates a narrative, right? It's an anchoring thing. It's almost like a heuristic effect where by talking about it as a $100 million domain name, well, now we're anchoring it where, oh, that name's its value is $100 million. It's just there's no one out there that's in a position to buy it that can afford it or whatever. Separately, it's this idea of like, shit, domain names are worth $100 million because AI.com is for sale for $100 million. So I think it's cool. And I personally like the publicity that it got. I like the narrative. But I think it's interesting because it's almost like we created this foregone conclusion of like this name's worth $100 million. Where will it ever, you know, I mean, do you guys.
Well, is there any more domain more valuable than that? Right. Like, is there a domain that's for sale right now that's more valuable than AI.com? I mean, it should set the record. It should set the record.
It should, provided somebody's there with the cash that can afford it. Right.
I mean, what kind of budget, how much money have they raised to be able to spend $100 million on the domain?
Yeah, it would have to be a multi-billion-dollar raise, right?
They do a billion-dollar raise or something, right? I mean, that's where they need to go.
Yeah, and it may not be a raise; it may be an existing company like Meta that says we want to own the premier domain. Like, it could be a trillion-dollar company that says $100 million. We just won't spend an ad at the Super Bowl this year or something, you know, like.
It's definitely got to be a Fortune 100 company. There are only a few handful of prospects for a name like that. Elon Musk, maybe Oracle, maybe Meta, and maybe a nation. Right? Maybe Saudi Arabia wants to get into AI.
I texted Larry for a student discount because I'm just a student. So
yeah. Let him know I'm a nonprofit. You know,
$50 million. Like we're gonna do good
Are
stuff.
Are you using this name?
Yeah. I see you're not using it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I think that's it. But those the fair point. So you know, it's a Fortune 100 nation states, right? So you've got this list of potential buyers, right? ChatGPT, you know. OpenAI, Grok, like Elon, like, you know.
It's no longer OpenAI, it's just AI.
I mean, that's interesting, right? I mean, you go from like, now we're not, you know, not OpenAI, we're just AI.com. Yeah, I mean, it'll be
Larry. We need the domain Sherpa 1% of the sale, please.
Well, they already spent over $20 million in equity for chat. So I don't think they're going to double down and pick up another one.
Yeah, that's fair. What I think is also interesting, you guys, so yes, we will see how that shakes out. I think that it's a very interesting, newsworthy type of thing. I think it's cool that they've created this narrative now and this discussion that it's happening and it's out there. It'll be extremely interesting to see if and, you know, they get a deal done and at what price. It would be great for all of us if the higher the number, the better. So, and to your point, I mean, Shane, is there a more valuable domain in the world? Probably not. I don't know that there, I mean, I think by far it is the, not just on the market, but in general, right? Short of a domain that you'd say, all right, well, how much is google.com worth or something that's like clearly tied to something that, you know, a company or whatever, that's going to give it that, that value. But
if you guys don't know the public story, I'm definitely not going to say it here, but there was a typo of a name for a company that they spent almost $30 million on just because it was a typo of their brand. So, yeah, nobody knows that story, but it is a true story that brands, they know the value of a domain. So,
well, what I think is really cool, and we know this personally, right, is that the leadership at a lot of the biggest companies in the world really do appreciate the value of domain names, right? So, you know, that's an interesting sort of, you know, piece to think about, is that, you know, you do have some of the most influential business leaders in the world that do appreciate the value of domains, and that actually have the access to the kind of funds to make a deal that could get something done for AI.com. So that would be, and hey, look, you get it sold, we'll get Larry on Sherpa, you know what I'm saying? Let's go.
Little equity could make it a $300 million domain.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And we've seen that too. I mean, domain deals that have resulted in, you know, bigger price tags than, you know, I mean, because right now, you know, we're all anchored with voice.com and some of the bigger ones that have, you know, the big sales that have taken place that are the big
public sales.
Public sales. Well, that's what I mean.
Because, you know, I know of a sale that was over $100 million. Yeah. It's just not public. And you know, we say this all the time. All the big sales are not public.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look,
because it's like some big company with some other big company, and then the lawyers handle transactions. So there's no escrow.com, and there's not these domain brokers. It's just a bunch of lawyers.
Sure. Well, I mean, we knew the options. I mean, we did, what, 9 figures in domain sales last year, and how many of those were publicized? You know, we're part of our whole business proposition is that, you know, our deals are, unless the buyer seller are all on board and they want to publicize it, it's just, or it's discovered through a public file, you know, a company filing or something like that. You know, very rarely disclosed. I mean, we tell people that all the time, that when we're trying to educate them to how the space just works, you know?
Yeah.
Do you think that lack of transparency hurts the industry when the top sales are not being reported? Do you think that's a pro or a con?
That's a great question.
I think it's a con. It has to be like all or nothing, right? And we're in the middle, and I report my sales as best I can. Can't always, unfortunately, but I think if we had full transparency, all sales, like the MLS, right? If, you know, homes, all the homes are all public, and so you can see what my neighbor sell for, and it helps you with comps. Here we don't have that, especially when we've got the whole high end of the market is not public. Then we've got a $1 million name. The buyer's like, yeah, we have $1 million, but why would we spend $1 million? Domains aren't $1 million. And we say, yes, they are, right? You just don't know it,
yeah.
Right? And so that's a little bit of a, it's difficult. It's a hurdle because there's this learning curve for the buyer because they just don't know that the market exists, what the pricing is. So I wish it was all transparent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's prevailing thought. I think more people would say that than the opposite, that, oh, we, you know, I think Drew, if you talk to him, he likes the fact that, you know, that there is this moat around information and, you know, some of the, you know, that creates and because if everything,
the value of information asymmetry is, we actually probably know more, we have the knowledge as far as what things have sold for and be able to price it and do that. But it is hard to tell your customers that.
Yeah.
But when you're selling with big businesses, it's private transactions. That's just how business works, right? Businesses don't want all the money that they're being spent spread all over X. That's just not.
Yeah.
Not right. Yeah. But
and what further complicates it is we have these wholesale transactions, right? Yeah. So Ish, you know, you spent $950 for that name, but now we've decided it's a $35,000 name. So you don't really want it public that it's sold for $950.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why you don't want to anchor the, my buys. Yeah.
You don't want to anchor the value down there. Right. You want to anchor the reason.
So people say that when domains go on chain, that's one of the consequences is people are going to be able to see on chain what it was purchased for. Kind of like how you can look at an NFT and say, oh, this is what they bought it for. This is when they bought it. It's a public ledger. Yeah. Do you think that that's an issue? Because Shane, I mean, you're into the DomainFi thing.
Yeah, I think you're gonna see blockchain encryption where they send it into 5,000 pieces.
Encryption, okay, I love it.
Yeah, I think you're going.
Oh, you thought it was gonna be a public, beautiful. Yeah.
So for instance, right now. Ledger? On receipt, like, so I'm invested in a company called receipts.xyz, and it's your running data, right? It all goes on chain, but you're not going to be able to put all that data together. The pieces of it are all on chain. It is on the ledger. And if you want to share that information, you can share that information that's on chain. But if you don't want to share that information, you don't have to share that information. So because you're not going to be able to piece all the data together. So you might be able to see that somebody ran 3 miles here and their heart was here, but that's not all going to be sitting just for you to go look at in one piece. So there will be ways to, quote, hide on chain. Just because it's on chain doesn't mean it's on chain and easy to find. It's not like one transaction. I'm sure people will be able to piece things together. The people that want to steal and want to do things are a lot smarter than the average person, right? They're always figuring out ways to extract. But in general, yeah, I think on-chain will be good, but we also don't want it to be a deterrent. So we don't want people to say, I don't want that information, so I'm not going to go through on-chain. So I'm going to go back to the traditional method and keep it off-chain. So, you know, there's going to be some work to do when it comes to on-chain transactions.
Yeah, but I think, and kind of back to the point about the transparency being sort of good, bad, it's a question of what does it do to, you know, market pricing, right? I think that because you have wholesale pricing, retail pricing, you know, end user pricing, that if everything was disclosed and available, then, you know, it would definitely skew the conversations in interesting ways that, you know, the information not being publicly available. But you get to a point where domains then establishes a value and all the transactions are at a high value, high level, you know, then it's great.
We've got it backwards though. So like if I'm buying product, nobody really knows what the product cost, right? Like you can't go and see that I buy this tree for $37 wholesale and sell it for $500. They can only see the retail side of it. We actually have it flipped in demand. We get to see the wholesale side of it, but we don't see the retail side of it. So it kind of skews things.
Yeah, 100%. One last point, and then we're still in the middle of the domain game. So we're
going to have to move things along. Yeah, I haven't even said my name. Yeah, I mean,
exactly. But real quick on the idea of, you know, Ish asked the question about .ai domains and, you know, them being redirected. One area or one instance where we see the reverse is agent.ai, agent.com. You know, Dharmesh bought agent.com and he redirects it to agent.ai. And it was funny because when we were on the show talking about it, because we were involved in the deal, and only talking about it because it became public, the narrative was kind of like, oh, they bought the .com because they know that they need to have that, you know. But even Dharmesh has kind of said, look, it's agent.ai. So it's almost like they bought the .com to be defensive. So there doesn't become an agent.com that then people will confuse with agent.ai. So it's almost like it validates the idea that the .com is still as critically important as it is. But very interesting that, you know, again, they're not going to change the brand, you know, and but in order to fully solidify the brand, they needed to have the .com so that no one else would. So that to me is super interesting. And big shout out to Dharmesh. I mean, that guy is doing some really crazy. I think they just announced 1,000 agents on agent.ai. They've passed that threshold and just some pretty, pretty cool and awesome stuff.
I sold a name to Dharmesh directly, and it's like, I don't know, a year ago, maybe more than a year ago, and it's a redirect to a page on HubSpot. So, you know, he does secure the brand and just redirect. He doesn't necessarily set all these new brands up, right?
It's interesting because, again, it's like, you know, the idea of like, oh, we had to get the .com because the .ai couldn't stand on its own as a brand. that's not really what happened. You know, .ai can stand on its own, but you have to lock down the .com to make sure that you don't get leapfrogged by sort of the more dominant domain, if you will. But the brand is still very much the AI, you know, .ai.
Protecting your brand comes in a lot of different forms. I mean, we see that all the time. We see companies getting, whole companies getting purchased to kill just to protect the brand. So
yeah, that's a great point.
There is.
Yeah. I mean, there's so
I think there's something to be said about culture in certain niches. Like in the crypto space, PayPay.com was purchased by, from you guys, Media Options, right? But it forwards to PayPay.vip because that's acceptable in that niche. And AI, you know, the .ai is a signal that this is an AI company. So even if they have the .com, they still want it to go to the .ai. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the crypto space, a lot of like OpenSea.com goes to OpenSea.io. Mm, so, you know, they're buying the .com. In some instances, for brand protection.
Yeah.
But they're keeping the funky CLDs.
Which is really interesting. It's an interesting. So in a way, you know, it's almost like then everybody with their position on sort of where they were at with the .ai and the .com are kind of correct in that, you know, AI has value. It is brandable. You know, .com is still important, dominant, if you will. You know, so it's like... Yeah. It's interesting. We're in an interesting time, and there are trends and things to be aware of and things to learn about, and there are opportunities in that, along with any of the, you know, all the volatility that just comes with all of this stuff that we're into, all the digital assets, the crypto stuff. You mentioned the thing about last point I'll make, and then we'll keep it moving on the game. But you mentioned about how, like, you know, all the NFT purchases are on chain, man. It's like, I wish that I didn't have to see some of the bad buys that I made on NFTs, you know, to remind me of some of the bad choices. You know what I'm saying? If I see the cool cat that I paid fucking 10 ETH for, you know what I'm saying? That shit's gonna haunt
me forever. You know what my biggest regret was? And this is pure greed. I got an other deed, number 221, and I had an offer for $290,000. I remember sitting at the house, and I was like, I'm not gonna take it.
Oh, I know.
Don't miss
we all have.
Ever. I'm going to tell my grandkids about that. And it's on chain. So no one's
going to chain. That's hey, Grandpa, we know you're trying to not talk about this, but it's on chain.
This is how I blew generational wealth.
Exactly. This is how I failed you all.
We all can talk. That was all funny money. It was
wild. All right. So speaking of...
All that money I invested, that wasn't funny. Just saying. Because it's all worth 10% of what I put out.
Exactly. If that.
Oh, you got 10%.
You should be selling.
I'll get that money.
All right. So here we go. TheAI.com. TheAI.com. This was a sale that you saw.
Yeah. Oh, well, shit.
Oh, dude, you went heavy. All right. I mean, I wasn't going to go that heavy.
We took so long, everybody looked it up.
No. Oh, I didn't. Is that?
Oh, well, is that okay? I guess we're done.
I'm just going to throw a tank over. So what?
Dane just said that's the number. So maybe
he said they looked it up. I don't know. Well, just put a number out there in the universe.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Here, then I'll do this. that's how
we have a tie. We have a tie.
Do we have a second tie? That's insane. All right. So for those of you who are not watching and only listening, I had 10,000. Raiden and Ish had 65,000.
Wait, but what were you going to say?
Who, me? No, I mean, I was always in this like 10K, 5K, 10K range. I don't know.
So you honestly think, although it could have been a wholesale, but you think VAI is only a 10 grand name?
Well, you know, I just didn't know. When you talk about buying it, if it's a GoDaddy auction, you know, that kind of thing.
It actually sold at Cito is where it was.
Well, Cito, I would think it would actually sell for a bit more. And it sounds like it did. It sounds like, you know, that it was a, this is my problem, man. When I try to game the game based on like, you know, the data, like what I know, like, oh, okay, it was a buy. And if you're talking about something that sold publicly on a platform, then that means that it should be a wholesale price. So that means it should be less than what it actually sold for. So it sold for 65K.
Yeah. 65K.
So I feel like you almost have to kick out a different name. You know what I'm saying?
The problem is it's from... This was how about this one? Ish, do you know this one? Xmobile.com?
No,
Xmobile?
Honestly, I don't.
Xmobile.com.
I was like, all right, great, too.
And then, I want to jump back to theai.com, but let's do this one quick before everybody looks it up.
To make it fair, yeah.
Yeah, Xmobile.com.
That's a weird one.
xmobile.com. All right.
All right.
All right. So I'm at 12,500. Braden's at 17,500. And Ish is at 25,000. That's a pretty solid kind of
Ish won it. So for 35,000.
Okay. So Ish gets the point. All right. So where was that one at?
Cito as well. That was, okay. Yeah.
Well, so real quick on theai.com, I would agree that, I don't know about 65,000, because if we're talking about a wholesale price and you're trying to turn, now, again, we're talking about AI.com potentially selling for $50 to $100 million. So all of a sudden the idea of theai.com sounds like 65 G's might be a pretty good deal, right? Some of this anchoring that we're talking about, right? I mean, what do you guys think, like Ish and Braden? I mean, I know you kind of got your numbers through less than,
Well, I got my number because I'm in the trenches every day. But
you got the number right from the trenches. What do you guys think about that price? What do you think about that price for that name on Cito?
It doesn't shock me. I think theai.com obviously is a great variation of AI.com. It's a derivative. And 65 grand seems pretty reasonable. I own a similar name, futureofai.com, and it's one of my favorite names, gets a lot of traffic. But theai.com is short, it's very descriptive, and I think it's actually worth more than 65 grand.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm Michael Birkin's protege, right? Michael Birkins was the king of the names for
the decades. Domains. Yeah, I mean, for sure. And I think you're right. I mean, I think there's real value there. I don't know if it's 65. I guess it's a question of then what do you sell it for, right? What are you trying to,
I don't think it was, I think it was an end user deal again.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably retail purchase.
Okay. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, then that's a little bit more.
I don't
think
that's a resale name. I didn't look and see what they're doing with it, but I'm pretty sure that's an end user.
Was it an auction or was it just like a buy it now kind of thing?
That I can't tell because they just have their sales list they send out to me. And
okay. Yeah, so if that's an end user sort of retail type of price, that makes sense to me. And I think that's a pretty good name. And then X Mobile, we were all kind of in the same sort of bucket on that one. Again, also if that's more of an end user type sale through Cito, then it makes sense that that number was kind of where it was. That's a number in an auction. I'm trying to get that name for like $2,000 or something because you're ultimately trying to sell it for 25. So
yeah. But
a question for the Sherpas, what would you price the future of AI.com? If the AI sells for that much, how would you price the future of AI.com? Or is it too many words?
To me, they're not the same type of brand, right? I wouldn't name my company the future of AI. I'd use it as a marketing.
I can see that being a conference.
True. I mean, there's use cases for it, but I wouldn't name my business that. I would name my business the AI.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's not AI, it's the.
Future of AI is not a business name, but it's like it's a conference, it's a newsletter, it's a
campaign,
it's something like that.
Great newsletter name.
Yeah, it's a good name, but I don't think it's a business name.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys sell that for if you have it? What are you listing it for?
Soaking up all the gems and making the adjustments.
This is what it's all about. I mean, this is and super, I think, helpful for the audience. This is great.
Also, future of AI forwards to an actual conference. I own the future of AI.
Oh, then we were 100% right. Because we said conference. It's a new conference newsletter. And it's a conference. So you have the future of AI.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's different. Yeah. It's not worthless. It's just
worth less.
But I think it makes a better newsletter name. I like the future of AI as a newsletter better than future of AI, honestly. I think
I know future of AI, I was going to say like 50 grand. The future of AI, it's pretty long and going to be a little confusing, right? Because people are going to drop the.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say closer to like, 10, 12 grand.
And in the AI, they're not going to drop the thinking, it was just AI.
No, like, no, that's a whole different,
ballgame completely.
No, and I think it's worth all of that 65 grand or retail.
And back to X Mobile, we know that Starlink has a phone coming out, right? And we also know Elon loves X. So it wouldn't be it wouldn't be far reaching to think that he would name his company X Mobile, right? So
just I am brokering a name, mobile.co, just putting that out there in the ethos if anyone has any interest.
Yeah. And same with that, though. I mean, if you're naming a mobile company, do you just name a mobile, right? Like, way too broad. Like, for me, I would not. And again, nothing against a name. It's just, to me, there are some generics that don't lend themselves to a great company name. Because you can't just be mobile. Like, mobile what? Oh, we're mobile.
How about mobile oil?
Yeah, well, that's
that was pretty good.
Hey, look,
guys, we're an hour in and we're still not even out of the domain game. So let's finish this up, then slide into the name jet list. Let's keep this moving. Braden, it is on you right now. I think Ish has a point and you two each have a point. So Braden's going to have to drop his name. And I think it's just going to be between Ish and Shane to see who gets the win. So,
spot.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Do you have double extra large hoodies?
So it's not. I got it. Yeah, man. We'll hook it up, man. It's all good. So, all right, Braden, so what you got?
Northridge.com.
Northridge.com. This was a purchase?
Sale.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I mean, it was a purchase at one point.
I remember when you bought that at the auction, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
All right. So this is you two guys. Man, Ish doesn't even wait. He's like, I'm throwing my number up in the universe. All right, so Ish is at 85,000. Shane, go ahead.
I'm at 85,001.
Everybody's supposed to turn at the same time.
Flip it, Shane.
Okay.
All right, 175,000 for Shane. So 85,000. My guess is that Ish gets this, but I don't know. Let's see.
What, JT, are you going to guess? What's going on here?
Well, no, because it's one of those two in order to win. Because if I get the point, then now we've got a four-way tie. Which, you know, I'm trying to get us to the end of the domain game so we can move along. But I would have been probably about 100K on this one. So
my bin, I had it priced at 150. Ugh. And an offer came in at 20. We went back and forth and it landed at 75. So Ish takes it.
75,000 Ish Billy with the victory. Let's go.
I thought for sure you were stronger.
Well, I bought it in
June. I want to do this. I want to thank Jesus. I want to thank my mama.
tell him. Hey, yo, mama, tell him.
I had this for like 7 months or something. And I was like, it was less than I wanted, but I thought, you know.
If I remember, you picked that up for 35, right?
30. I paid 30 grand for it. And, that night when I won the auction, that night another investor came up to me. He's like, "You stole that name. That was I'll give you 42,000 or 43,000 for it." And I was like, "Oh, yeah,
story." That was in Austin, right?
Yeah, and I thought
2 years ago,
and I thought, well, it's worth more than that. You know, you kind of get married to a name, and you think about what it's worth. And I was like, why do I want to walk away for $13,000? And then I was like, well, I mean, I get 13 grand for not putting out any money. Right. I wouldn't have to spend any money
for pretending it didn't happen.
Yeah. So I was like, do I want a $13,000 breakup fee? And I was kind of on the fence about it. And I decided no. And I'm glad I walked away from it because
I've had a better result.
$45,000 in 6 months. 6 months later is better than
what you're referring to, though. Speaking of heuristics, is the endowment effect. And we mentioned this on the show before, which is the idea that, like, you know, everybody puts additional value on things that are theirs or that they feel like they have some possession of. You know, there was a Harvard study where they gave everybody, and I'm probably butchering the facts, but it was something like where they gave half of the subjects or students a candy bar. They gave the other half a coffee mug, and then they let them hang on to them for about 15, 20 minutes. And then they said, all right, who here would trade one for the other? And it was like 90% of both sides were like, we're not going to give up my thing. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of the fact that, you know, you would think like, oh, based on what it is, you know, they're all similarly situated, timing, whatever. There's going to be some sort of like, whichever one, you know, they're kind of arbitrary, is value sort of close, whatever. I guess the mug's probably worth a few more dollars more. I don't know. Chocolate bars are kind of expensive now. But anyway, long story sideways is everybody said, I'm going to hold on to this is mine. It has more value to me. And I mentioned this is something that happens in like fantasy football. Everybody thinks their players on their roster are worth so much more. And, you know, it's a lot of that kind of stuff. And that's what happens. It happens with domains, happens with a lot of things. So,
well, but also another investor is like, no, wholesale, it's worth 43.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that kind of substantiated that it was a good buy for me.
Sure. Yeah.
And he's talking about, well, it's a city. It's a big city. It's got this many people and blah, blah, blah. I was actually born in Northridge.
We're going to add that.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. So now the Archduke of Northridge, the Viscount of Woodland Hills.
I've got a handful of local geo names, which, you know, I'll never sell any of them, but. So Northridge is not just a geo, but it's also brandable because Northridge, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, dude, the thing is brandable for it. Yeah, it'd be brandable.
And so I was like, you know, and that's why I held on to it. But then this offer came through and I thought, okay, well, I could take the 75 or I could wait and get my 150. But when am I going to get that 150? You know, if this is going to take me 4 more years to get that 150, I'm better off taking the 75 today because I can parlay that into more names, right? And ultimately make more money. So I took my chips off the table.
Yeah, but I like that as a brand for, I mean, that can be like outerwear or like hiking gear or, you know, I mean, it could be a resort. It could be a
budget. It was an upgrade. It was sold to a company that is called Northridge. It's not, I'm not going to call them out, but
yeah,
they're a longer name.
Let's call them out. I mean, they bought a great domain name. Let's see what they let's see where it goes.
That's amazing because I always wondered who buys the city geo names. You know, Bruce, I think he sold WestlakeVillage.com.
That's buying me also. Yeah,
I own DraperUtah.com. Very different from Draper.com. I know that, worth less. But I think those are great names to own, you know.
Well, interestingly, though, Northridge.com is for sale. I mean, buy it now, $110,000 on Afternic.
Sold. So,
which one?
Northridge.com.
No, it should be.
Maybe they never moved it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's actually Domain Easy. I thought it was Afternic, but it's Domain Easy.
Maybe they're trying to flip it.
Yeah. That's happened.
$110,000. Huh. I guess at a price of one. I thought it had a price of $150,000.
So anyway, but all good stuff. Congratulations ish on the win. I'll get you some swag. We'll figure out like what and how and when. And, but I got you.
I just want the moral victory. I don't care about the swag.
That's a big win, man. That's a big win. And some heavyweights, man. You came through, you know, like I like it. Not unlike, you know, when the world champion Philadelphia Eagles recently won the Super Bowl.
Oh my God, let it go.
Just saying, if anybody wasn't paying attention, it happened. We're pretty excited about it. All right.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
Let's keep it moving. We got the Name Jack and a Jet segment. We got to knock this out. We're going to have to move through this pretty quick. Then we'll do a quick around the horn and then let everybody off the hook for today's show. But this section is sponsored by NameJet. We review a list of domains coming up for auction. Go to namejet.com or you can actually go to the domainsherpa.com page for this particular show. And there's actually a spreadsheet you can download that'll have a whole bunch of stats and info related to the domains. So definitely check it out, and hopefully that helps. So let's go ahead and, it's funny, I did not update the list on my end, but let's go ahead and pull the list if you guys got it. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you, Shane, to start, since we kind of go in a round-the-horn type of order.
I'm going to take all of them, but the one that first came out is Linea. Linea is a blockchain owned by Consensus that owns MetaMask.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Damn, yeah. Okay. I didn't even know that when I put it on the list.
Yeah, that one's, if Linea is not paying way up for that, I don't know who is.
Right, okay.
They've got a pretty good market cap, and it's also Consensus and MetaMask, same company. So it should go for a lot. They should be out competing everybody. So it's a great name anyway, right? Linea is just a really nice name brand as well. So,
well, it means line in Spanish.
Yeah, no, that's exactly.
A bunch of companies called Linea.
Yeah, no, it's high demand. It's a great name. Even if Linea, the blockchain, does not buy it, it's still a six-figure name, in my opinion. So it's really good. The one that I thought was really interesting in a business model is warehouses. I'm looking for a warehouse to buy a warehouse, and I will say that market is incredibly hot. People are looking for distribution in warehouses. It is a standalone valuable word that you can build a business on, and anything that you can build a business on out of the gate is a very valuable name. So I don't know what it'll go for. I know Estabot's really high, but Estabot's not very useful for most cases. So warehouses, I don't know where I'll be at that one, but five to 10,000 probably. The other one is Island Sun. I just think it's a great brand. It sounds like, do we still use, sunscreen, resort, boat, there's so many uses for Island Sun. It's a pretty common term. It doesn't get any Estabot appraisal at all. And it's only got 7 back orders. And that's another reason I like it. Not a lot of people.
Yeah, that's probably, I'd say that's one of my favorite. All right. So I think you've net mentioned a bunch. I think you're probably good. But all good stuff. And let's keep it moving. Let's go, Braden. What do you like or don't like? Keep it to 5 or less. So there's still some stuff for Ish to talk about. You know what I'm saying?
Zip codes.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a play there. There are several developed sites that are like zip-codes and uszipcodes.com or .org or something like that. And I don't know, they're like mapping and demographics. And I think it's a traffic play. I'm not sure exactly how they monetize it other than ads. But no, that's the thing. I like Thumb Drive. You didn't mention that, Shane, did you?
No, I like it, but
I think it's a cool. I mean, you're not going to sell thumb drives on it, but it's just a cool brand. You know, reminds me of Thumbtack, which is a lead gen site owned by Google. So that's two. And then you talked about Island Sun. Street Vision, I think it's also kind of a cool brand.
All right, cool.
It's not worth a ton.
That's a good full self-driving, full self-driving. Street Vision sounds like the program you used to let your car drive. So
no, yeah. also like a streetwear brand or marketing company or something like that.
Sunglasses.
Could be some kind of sunglasses. All right. Ish, what about you, man? What do you like or don't like?
Yeah, I've been really fascinated with directories lately. So I love medicalschools.org for that. I think it could be a great directory of medical schools, maybe in the US or even globally. And you can monetize that easily, pairing up schools with students and stuff like that. I mean, there's an affiliate marketing play there for sure. I like Quiet Place. Sounds very tranquil. It could be, You know what I mean? It could be a resort. It could be an actual hospitality-based name. You guys have picked some of the great ones that I like. Derby.org. Interesting. Could be some sort of like horse racing or horse related nonprofit. Not the best in the list, but good enough. And then primeproperty.com is also a good one. I think that could be some sort of like MLS, similar to what Shane described for warehouses.com. You know what I mean? Mm.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Real quick on the medical schools piece, Andrew Allman has a site that he's created, collegeiq.com, that we got to give our boy a shout out. That
what's the website
called? collegeiq.com.
Love it.
And it's because they went through a whole process with their kid trying to figure out like where to send them to college and how do you find the right fit, especially when you're talking about smaller schools, 1,000 miles away from home, and how do you figure out where some of the find the right fit. So I thought that's something like me leverage that.
Yeah, I've been playing with developing sites with some of the tools out there right now. One of the sites I created a small MVP for is a domain I own called University Websites. Okay. And it just led me into this whole, you know, rabbit hole of how people monetize those college admission sites. And it's a huge industry. Like, I mean, you'd be surprised how much colleges pay recruiters to bring students on there, especially the non-accredited ones. You know what I mean? Like, they pay quite a healthy amount of money if you're responsible for onboarding a student to their school, because, you know, they charge a lot.
Yeah, no, I'm with it, man.
It's pretty easy to spin up a directory site, because you can buy templates for, you know, like $59 or something. It's been years, but we used to use edirectory.com, and then there's another one called brilliantdirectories.com. They're just templates. You just find a directory template that you like and plug it in. Pretty simple. If you want to play with that.
So, all right. Are there any names that on here that anybody doesn't like?
I just looked up Thumb Drive, and it's actually set with a $29,000 bin, so it's not on auction anymore.
Oh, see. Within 48 hours, you know, the dream is dashed.
I'm becoming less intrigued by four-letter.com names that don't have any, that aren't pronounceable. So I'm not a big fan of dmge.com. I just put out a list of about 9 of them
damage.
In my portfolio that I want to get rid of as well for like less than $400 each or something.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Those type of names are trending downwards. If it was pronounceable, if it was a CVCV, it would be different, but dmge.com doesn't.
It could be damage.
Got it.
That's why I included it. I thought it was kind of interesting. Like it's, you know, it's gaming or some other stuff, you know, the idea around like, you know.
Yeah.
I have RSTR, and I've got inquiries and offers on that because it
restaurant. Could be
roster. Rooster or roster, yeah.
I thought restaurant. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't know. All of a sudden, I had
the beholder.
I couldn't remember the letters. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I know you said RSTR. And then, I don't know.
Roger. Rambler.
All right. Well, you know, another name on here that I thought was interesting that I just wanted to share is theglobe.com, you know, with the little duh name. There's actually, so I used to live in Red Bank, New Jersey, and there was a bar called The Globe. And,
isn't there a newspaper in the newspaper, The Globe?
Definitely. I mean, probably. It sounds like something. It's like that's where Superman works. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where Peter Parker takes all the pictures and stuff before he has to turn into Spider-Man. But The Globe, and it's funny because not only was it a bar, but, you know, it's like a local institution, you know, and then they always had a team in the YMCA men's league that was all these like old dudes, like old white guys, ponytails and the whole thing. But they were the best team like year after year. They had a dude that was they had a 7-footer, first of all, who was like, and he was like a George Mikan type, you know, like pivot, you know, pass, hit, you know, doesn't miss from the free throw line. And, you know, I remember one year we had a team, this was much when I was younger and I was in shape and we were legit and fast and getting up and down the court. And these guys would just kill us with like back screens. And it was like playing Princeton, but like the grandparents of the Princeton players, you know, just happened to be.
Is this road going to lead back to Domain?
It does. It's theglobe.com. It leads back to The Globe, dude. You know what I'm saying?
So is the bar going to pay up for us?
I don't know. Probably not, but I do like the name. And anyway, I just felt like I needed to tell
you. I'll say one that I don't really like is My Homes. I look at it and go, how many people own several homes? Like, is it is it where you keep records of your homes? Like, do I buy several? To me, the plural.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, I think you're right. Myhome.com is cool. That would be a much better name. Home. You know, you have homes.com as well as home.com, just not, you know, so, but I agree with you. I think that's one of those
that it throws it off, right? It makes it personal. If it's homes that you can shop for homes.
For sure.
Yeah. My just.
My home is good and homes is good, but my homes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's probably a little bit of fool's gold there, you know, where you think it's a better name than it is. So,
yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I think we touched on them all, actually. And
the Diablos is probably going to be a team name, right? Like the Diablos is definitely going to be a sports team name.
Or a restaurant or like a biker bar that's,
oh, that's true. It could
franchised,
be
you know what I'm saying? Mexican like a franchise. You know, they have Ford's Garage, which is like, I think it's pretty random. I have a buddy of mine that invests in one of those, and I think it's kind of random because it's like a TGI Fridays, and it's you know, it's an Americana type restaurant, bar and grill based around, you know, Ford and Ford history, you know, cars and trucks and old school trucks, you know, and pieces and license plates on the wall and shit like that, which I always thought was a weird branding kind of mix. You know what I mean? It's like, that just isn't like,
didn't know you could, I could see Diablo's,
you know, I saw somebody posting this the other day. They're like, you know, with remote work and you've a lot of cities and, you know, have some of the same sort of branding now across, like, you know, a lot of the same sort of restaurants, the same kind of bar, same kind of bar and grills, you know, you could kind of get Diablo's could be sort of the, you know, the commercialized version of like a biker bar, you know what I mean? Like they try to make it like it's, like it's edgy, but it's not, it's a franchise. You know what I mean? That's Diablo.
Yeah.
Like, we're just a biker gang. Could be a biker gang.
Hey, you biker, you know, hellsangels.com, you know, it's,
Diablo's.
Sons of Anarchy was a great show. All right. Anyway, I think we've officially devolved here, and but I appreciate it. We went through the list, so that was good. There's some good stuff there. So everybody, good luck. And then let's do one more around the horn here. We're in the grand closing, and I'll start with Ish, and this is where we kind of discuss anything else that's going on, conferences, anything you've got that you're kind of into lately, new business ventures, new investments, anything else you feel like mentioning, man. What's good?
Yeah, for sure. I still host a weekly podcast or Spaces on X. Would love to have you guys join. Shane's been there. Would love to have Braden and yourself, JC, one of these Saturdays.
Okay.
At 10 a.m. PST. Okay. And then I'm now getting ready to start working on the third version of Domainer Conference and Expo. Last year was very light. We had less than 50 people there, actually about 30. But it was such a quality attendance. Braden, really, really, I mean, I'm indebted to Braden. Braden added so much value. It was very nice. I really liked the light, you know, less pressure on me as an organizer. So I want to keep it similar this year, maybe about 50 to 100 people. We're going to do it at the same venue in Vegas, and that's going to be May 21st and 22nd. So if you can make it out there, that'll be awesome. The other conferences won't be till November, so we wanted to just sort of like move it more forward. So I'm going to start talking a lot about that. DomainerExpo.com is the website, and people can register right now.
All right. Hey, Billy, let's make sure we put that in the show notes.
May 21st and 22nd at the
meet. Let's definitely hype that up. And what I really like about that, and I think you make a good point, you know, NamesCon is now setting themselves up in this November Miami spot, which I think is good. I think that's a good spot for them. I think it's a great location. I appreciate moving it out of Texas in the summertime. So I think that's going to be great. Obviously you've got the ICA member meeting that takes place in Vegas in January. I think that's great for them. So I do think there is this now mid-year opportunity for a get together for people to do something. And I like the intimate style, you know, the events, because I reference a lot. I went out to China. This was back in like 2015. It was like the World Domainer Conference or whatever, and they had this big thing out there, and there was only a lot of folks that, you know, had traveled, but only a handful that were kind of your usual suspects in the domain space. But it was like Frank Schilling and Paul Nix and, you know, a handful of other for myself, and, you know, and you really got to spend time with a couple of people that, you know, a bigger events are really spread out, you know. Right. And so which was really, really cool. And I think if you can get like a nice group of, you know, 40, 50 to 100 people or whatever it is, you know, it's kind of what I think is still great about the ICA get together, is that it's not so full of people that you know, you can't have meaningful conversations and meetings and actually learn something and get some business done. So I think that's super cool, man. I think that's good stuff, and I think it's good for the space.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, we'll hype it up. Billy, please, as a reminder, put that in the show notes along with the, so you said Saturday is at 10 a.m. Pacific. Is that the,
Yeah, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern.
What do y'all call that?
It's called Brand Hacking with Domain Names.
Okay. Brand Hacking with Domain Names. All right. We'll throw that in the show notes as well. And, we'll definitely make sure people are aware, and I'll, you know, jump in. I don't know if I can do it this Saturday, but
Pop in any time, man. We've done it consistently. I think I've only missed two weekends in the last 2 years. It's something I really enjoy doing, and I usually have some regular co-hosts like Michael Durash, who just sold lawyersnearme.com for $100,000.
Okay,
you know what I mean? Amazing, yeah, that's sale. Awesome. It was a hand registration, by the way. And you know, guys like Adam, who's a consistent experienced domainer. And then, you know, guys just show up once in a while. Shane stops by and blesses us with his knowledge.
Well, Saturdays are tough. That's
yeah, I know.
You can always pop up in 10 minutes. Well, you do a great job. It's always good. I could talk domains all day. So you do. I appreciate the good conversation. Yeah. Anytime I, on Saturday, I know at lunchtime, if I'm around, I
when you're not hiking, up some,
yeah.
some trail
in not the, out the, mountain, the hair,
my wife still works. So that's our day. Like she actually has to work during the day. So, or during the week. So Saturdays are kind of her day and I still garden. So, yeah, for me, I'll go ahead and I still have DSAD.com every day, 15 years now. I have moved into a gardening newsletter. It's totally unrelated to domains, completely different, but I love talking about plants again and just kind of going over that. So it's been nice to kind of move over there and put some effort towards that. And the newsletter game is such an interesting thing. I had no idea there were newsletter conferences and like I got people telling me about hooks and how to ride them and the style. It is really interesting that I really did not realize that the newsletter was such a huge business for everybody. So it's been really interesting from that standpoint. And it's a good divergence away from domain names that I'm looking at every day. And of course, at Shane Coulter on X, I'm there way too often. I need to be
there less. Mainstay, man. It's all good. Yeah. No, that's good stuff. We'll make sure we'll note the DSAD. I mean, obviously everybody just, you know, who doesn't know about that is pretty much asleep, but the, we'll make the reference and, yeah, it's botany.com, right? I mean, for the newsletter.
Botany.com. Yeah. I picked a decent name to have a newsletter on.
Not bad. Not bad, man. It's all good. So that's good stuff. All right, Braden, what about you?
I got nothing. I'm going to Seattle in a few days where I can just to, you know, mix it up with my domain peeps.
Uh-huh.
That's about it. Ish, I think I'm going to miss your event.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I'm going to Borneo and Kuala Lumpur.
Okay, gotcha. That's a little.
So, I'm at the Chelsea Garden Show in London that day too. Yeah, how could you pick it on the same weekend as or same week as Chelsea Garden Show? Come on,
I should have thought about that.
Thought that you would do that.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I sort of picked those days because you know I wanted to sort of like pace it away from the other conferences. You know, May end of May is bearable in Vegas. June, July is just it's a hellhole, and yeah. For me, consistency is important, and I wanted to make sure that we at least do it this year. And you know, maybe next year we'll definitely make sure that you guys can join us. But yeah, we're definitely gonna miss you, Braden. I'm excited about bringing people together. I think it's. I've always said this. I organize other conferences. Putting events together is a life hack, and you know, it's a great way to level up. Kind of like what Shane talked about with the newsletter, just adding value where people can benefit from in a win-win capacity. If you can start a newsletter, a directory, a conference, whatever you do, just do something that brings people together and people can share knowledge. It's important stuff.
Yeah, no, I think it's super cool, man. And like I said, I think there's definitely a space in this mid in between the NamesCon and the ICA meeting that you know creates an opportunity and. Hopefully we'll, get some people out there. I'll see what my calendar looks like. I can't commit one way or the other, but we'll talk about it. And, but either way, it's good. And you just got to keep doing it, keep showing up and it'll just build and grow. And, you know, but like you said, it's a great opportunity to bring people together to help educate and all that good stuff. So that's always good. And, all right, well, listen, guys, I very, very much appreciate it. On my end, I just want to give a quick shout out to the ICA. I mean, I've been named to the board. Thank you to Braden and the rest of the board members there. And, very, very excited. I'll be in Seattle as well as I'm starting to, dusting off my policy jacket, you know, and getting back into the swing of things from that on that front.
Congressman JT.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. And, but it's good. They're doing good work. And I would just say to our listeners, anybody who is not already a member, I think that there is a lot of value there. So this isn't just, hey, let me throw some money at something that's not really going to have any impact. I mean, these guys, Zach, Camilla, you know, the whole board, continuing to really push the ball down the field for the benefit of domain owners and related service providers and everything else. So it's really an opportunity to, you know, to support something that's going to help you. So for all of our listeners out there, this is got a lot of common interest there. And the ICA is one of those entities that's really out there supporting all of us in that way. Moving the ball down the field is the reference similar to, I don't know if anybody's paying attention, but the Philadelphia Eagles played in the Super Bowl and they did that over and over again against the Kansas City Chiefs to win the championship. And fly, Eagles, fly. All right. With that, I'm going to let it go. But I will be out in Seattle. So, hey, anybody that's out there, let's try to connect. If anybody wants to say what's up, let me know. Hit me up. Always open to feedback, or opportunities to collab and connect and network, or even just to help if we can, which is really big shout out to my co-host today, Ish, especially show number two. Big win, though. Two shows, one win. I mean, it's like that's a heck of a ratio. And expecting a lot more, man, and looking forward to that. But also, Shane, Braden, thank you guys so much for the time. Always big, 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 big appreciation, both myself, but also for the audience. Speaking of the audience, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I say it on every show, without you, there is no us. So thank you so much for tuning in. Again, holler at us if you have any questions, comments, good, bad, ugly. Let us know what's up. A lot going on. There is a lot of opportunity to communicate, to get involved, to get busy, and hopefully, find success. So, and that's pretty much what's up. So I'm going to say goodbye and say thanks again to everybody, both on and off the show. And we'll see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, y'all.